Welcome to a new episode of Ready to Launch, a special series in collaboration between Riada, a Wilson Center podcast, and the Straight Up Startup with Raja Issahouri in Amman, Jordan. I'm your co-host, Marissa Khurma, Director of the Middle East Program. We're turning towards social and sustainability-focused entrepreneurs this month to learn more about how the startup world is also buzzing with men and women driven by important social, economic, or environmental causes. Today, we're very fortunate to be speaking with two impressive young women who run their own startups. Noor Aboujbara, an industrial engineer from Jordan, who in 2021 founded SHE, a social, human, and economic empowerment hub that helps individuals to reach empowerment through mentorship, consultation, and training services. It specifically targets women and NGOs that are working on women empowerment projects. And also with us today is Hanan Shaheen, who's the co-founder and CEO of Bloom, Jordan's first try before you buy startup. In 2014, Hanan also launched The Atelier, the first eco-friendly event planning company in the MENA region. Noor and Hanan, thank you so much for joining us today. Noor, I'm going to start with you to basically ask you how you all started with SHE. Tell us more about your enterprise and what inspired you to do this.
Thank you so much, Marissa, for this great introduction. And thank you also for the kind invitation for us for this podcast. You gave me a great introduction at the beginning, so I will start from it. My journey started, to be honest, with SHE, which an abbreviation for social, human, economic empowerment. It started during my master's study. I studied master's in innovation and entrepreneurship, and in that time, my dissertation or my thesis was focusing on women economic empowerment through entrepreneurship. From that time, to be honest, I started searching more and more regarding the economic empowerment for women and how entrepreneurship is part of the economic empowerment and is part of the major homeworks and the major things that women focus in order to reach to the economic sustainability. So I started with this research, and the research itself increased my linkage with the area itself, knowing that also it came from a challenge I faced. For example, at that time I completed my master's in the UK. So at that time I faced certain challenges, I knew myself more and so on. So going through that experience, to be honest, I valued the concept of empowerment and having people that helped me at that time. So going through the cycle itself of SHE, the cycle of SHE starts with the personal empowerment, then the economy, the social empowerment, and finally the economic empowerment. So the cycle and the model of SHE, it's inspired by passion, by experience, and by research. So from that time, you can say that time was in 2018, the idea started to be formalized more and more and day by day. After the master's and after I have written maybe business plan in this idea, I started to test the business model. I pitched the idea in one of the social innovation competitions with the Dot Joe and GIZ, and I won at that time the third place, which helped me to test the model of SHE and the concept of SHE through recording a series of videos regarding the concepts of women empowerment and the concept of social empowerment, personal empowerment, and financial and economic empowerment. So from that time, to be honest, I started growing and modifying the model until today. So today, if I want to brief what is SHE, SHE is an empowerment hub that helps individuals to reach empowerment. But what's special in SHE is the unique model that starts with the personal empowerment, familial empowerment, social empowerment, and finally the economic and financial empowerment. So it's a cycle that help women to reach at the end the empowerment. And what I say always that empowerment, you know, we all need empowerment in our life, and empowerment does not come from de-empowerment. You know, there's no need to be de-empowered to need empowerment. Empowerment is about helping each other and helping ourselves. And the concept behind empowerment is helping women to reach to a point to take the decision to empower herself. So empowerment, it's a you-centered thing that starts with a decision from women. So what I do is to help women to reach that decision to empower themselves at the end. The current services that I offer, I started with offering general services like mentorship sessions and training courses to help women, يعني, to open their own businesses. But the difference is the cycle itself. So we don't go through the entrepreneurial, economic, and financial concepts before we discuss a certain personal empowerment concepts, how to increase her self-confidence, how to take decisions, how to know herself, and so on. Then we start discussing aspects related to social empowerment, so how to create the balance between her professional and social life, how to manage the expectations and the obligations that she has in her family, and so on. And after that, we start tackling that tailored business and entrepreneurial material concepts. And here the difference became, so when we reach, when we target, for example, home-based businesses, the content of the entrepreneurial aspect will differ. And sometimes we offer these services for women, employees in general, and corporates. So, yeah.
This is really interesting and really fascinating. And I love the comprehensiveness of the cycle that that you've just described. In fact, you know, by starting with self-empowerment, you're really helping young girls and women to exercise leadership, to have agency. And that's very often a missing component, where a lot of the research out there always showcases that there is a crisis of confidence when it comes to women and the job market. You know, there's hesitation to start a business sometimes because of this lack of confidence, or hesitation to even apply for funding, hesitation to apply for a job if not all the qualifications are met. So this is truly a much needed intervention. So it's really interesting work. Before we move forward, I'm curious to hear how you know, you've evolved with the various models. But I want to turn to Hanan to also give you a chance to tell us a little bit more about your story with Bloom or even the Atelier. But what was it like to start a business, and what drove you to basically enter the entrepreneurship world?
Hi, Marissa. Thank you for having me. To answer the question, actually, is the answer is simply, I just wanted to find my place in this world. So I studied architecture. I have always been fascinated by the power of creation. I like creating experiences in general, regardless if it's a painting or it's an event or it's maybe a discussion. So again, I graduated, I studied architecture. I love what I studied, but I did not want to be the employee because this was the only option I had. So I was trying to find a place for myself as a person who wants to create experiences. And I went through multiple experiences where I volunteered in Peru, for example, to just find an answer. I worked in costume design and I was a salesperson. I literally tried all the jobs in the world and I couldn't find what I wanted. And this is maybe what led me to start my first business, which is an eco-friendly event planning company that was that used to upcycle waste into affordable luxury events. So my first startup led me to my second one.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah, so during my first one, all I wanted is to find me, honestly, to be really honest about it. But while finding yourself, while doing this, when you have your business and you don't have a fixed pay, you have to work for it every single day, which means if you do not improve as a person, which is connected to what Noor was talking about, if you do not grow as a person, you are unable to grow your career, which means you are unable to grow the business. And the more I was exploring myself through this first startup, I knew more about the startup world, the difference between a business and a startup, the difference between having a nice business and a scalable one, which made me go through multiple entrepreneurial programs like She Entrepreneurs, where I got to know more about SDGs, for example, which led me in 2021 to start my second startup, which is Bloom, because I realized I want a more scalable business. Because my first one was not, honestly, it was more like a business rather than a startup. Mm-hmm. And I was enrolled with Founder Institute, the accelerator. I was actually volunteering with them to recruit founders when I suddenly realized that I don't want to recruit you guys. I want to be you.
Yeah.
So I just decided to close the first business. And I had a client, so I just told her to come take whatever I offered her in as a service to buy everything that she needs, which was a really good deal for her. Mm-hmm. And I just closed the first business and I started the second one. And it started evolving. It started as an idea to simply make, to make shopping easier. Especially online shopping, because during the pandemic, and this is where we started, it was not easy to do online shopping. And mm-hmm. we had the idea to have outlets online. During the program, we got to evolve the idea more, where we realized there's a bigger gap in e-commerce infrastructure, which is the return part. Mm-hmm. So we decided to offer our customers the opportunity to try items before actually paying for them, which is the idea of the try before you mm-hmm. buy, that enables you as an customer who shops online to try multiple sizes of the same item. We deliver it to your doorstep and only then you pay for what looks gorgeous on you. Mm-hmm. So basically, this is the new startup that I'm working on.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Hanan, for sharing. I hear a common theme in your story and Noor's story about your journeys of self-discovery, you know, the challenges that you faced, but also the commitment and dedication to try different things in this journey of self-discovery. I guess, you know, with Noor's case, creating She to help others, and in your case, benefiting from that service, but also taking it a step further to keep at it. And that's really sort of the formula of entrepreneurship. It's a lot of it is trial and error. So I'm going to turn now to just ask you guys about some of the major challenges that you faced in the ecosystem that you think need to be addressed in terms of whether it's registering your business or finding capital? Those are often some of the challenges that are named. But what specific challenges did you face? And then we'll get to who should really be working to address some of these challenges or some of these barriers in the ecosystem. Noor, I'll start with you.
Thank you, Marissa. In general, there are certain common challenges for like entrepreneurs, whether they are males or females. And sometimes there are challenges that affect women entrepreneurs in specific. For myself, I'll start in general as she. Maybe the most challenging thing is finding the resources in general, whether it's financial resources or like human capital who can work and commit or believe on the idea itself. Maybe securing these things was challenging in general. In addition, sometimes to accessing to beneficiaries reaching the right targeted audience, it was a challenge. However, after you network, after you link yourself with the right people, the network, it increases and things become clearer for you. But in general, finding the resources is a challenge.
And you here you mean financial resources?
So finance? And yeah. In addition, human capital or human resources, mm-hmm. people who work with you, mm-hmm. believe on your idea, and like commit with you for a certain period. Mm-hmm. This is a challenge. In general, I work on a business incubator as well. Also, there are a huge, many challenges that faces entrepreneurs in terms of accessing to finance, accessing new markets, in addition to finding the right resources as well. Access to finance, sometimes it's a challenge also for women because many of the maybe venture capital or investment activities, it needs to have more gender lens, to have certain quotas or to include a certain number of women to benefit from these investments. However, there are many customized programs that are rising currently, to be honest, who are focusing more on women, mm-hmm. and helping women-led startups, yeah. As well. But unfortunately, the percentage of women who have investment is usually less than men. So, for example, for 2 years, there's an increase of 28% of investment for women-led startups. Mm-hmm. So there are a huge area of improvement that should be taken into consideration regarding investment and so on. So this is the general things or the general challenges. I faced. Mm-hmm, for me, mm-hmm. as well, maybe the last thing that I want to mention regarding the registration of social enterprises. Mm-hmm. Not all our countries are familiar with this concept.
Absolutely.
So a registration organization form that combines the profit organizations, corporates, and the non-profit organization, it needs more improvement and needs more work, because at the end, social enterprise, it's a profitable organization, but the point of the dividends, so the profits, a part of them can be distributed to the founders, and the rest right. shall be and you get back to the business itself.
Yeah.
So having this formula lacks, to be honest, in other countries.
That's a really good point, and that's why I asked about registration. And I'm sure you had to fill out multiple documents that belong to different ministries. But that's a really good point. Thank you, Noor, for that. Hanan, what about you? If you were to name one or two challenges / barriers that you faced that you think others face as well, what are they?
So for me, the first barrier, if we're speaking of a first-time founder, for example, you don't know what you don't know. So you have this dream, but you don't know how to build it. And building a startup is a game. The problem is we just don't know the rules. And for me, it took me a long time, around 6 years, to actually know the rules and play by the game. So this is the challenge for founders. There are programs that can help you. That's the good news. For the second challenge is this boy crying now.
I understand completely.
Okay, Go ahead. But obviously it's here. So some challenges are just balancing between what you have at home and what's going on in life. And in my case, it's my 7 months old son who decides to cry now. The third one, in terms of regulations, I will talk about what Noor was talking about in terms of registering a company. First of all, it's not clear for us as founders which regulations should we follow. Should I have a limited liability company? Should I be the solo founder? How much should I pay?
Yeah.
Is it worth it or not?
Yeah.
Then when we want to have co-founders or investors, I do not think that the current registration laws are founder friendly.
Right.
For example, if I want to have an investment, the current law will only allow me to have a shareholder investment, which is fixed equity, which is very bad, which is like the worst deal a founder can have, which means that for founders, it's much better to register outside of Jordan. And it's sad for us. I want to be a Jordanian startup.
Which is what's happening with a lot of Jordanians who want to start their own business, actually. Yes.
Exactly. So for me, I have this conflict of, do I want to be the Jordanian startup? Yes, I do. But honestly, the regulations of registering a company are not friendly. So I'll have to just go out.
Yeah.
So maybe this is one of the main issues that is the reason why many startups are out. Jordanian startups are not in Jordan.
Absolutely. That's a really good point as well. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Now that we've named the main challenges that you guys faced, Noor and Hanan, who should be working on addressing some of these barriers? Is it the government solely? Is it the private sector in collaboration with the government? Noor?
To be honest, from my point of view, we all shall work together to solve these challenges. It's not about the government sector only, the private sector, the government sector, and sometimes also startups and MSMEs also contribute in solving this kind of program. However, maybe the power, the control, come from the government sector in general. So I think it's a combined effort between the private and the government sector. The private sector, maybe sometimes they contribute with the money, with the initiative, with implementing the initiative. However, the government sector, they need to facilitate the work, to create an umbrella that everyone or every sector works under it, to facilitate the work, to control and manage the work that is done regarding entrepreneurship in a way that prevents duplication of work. Before 2 years, and to be honest, Jordan is one of the emerging markets and the developing markets in the entrepreneurial like scene. There's a huge movement on it. But to be honest, yani before 2 years, there were a lot of duplicated work on entrepreneurship and so on. So same programs with similar people, same beneficiaries are working on the same thing. But now I can see somehow there's a change in managing the work and creating that kind of facilitating between efforts, so we prevent duplication and we maximize the benefit for entrepreneurs. So from my point of view, as I said, government for facilitating the work, building partnerships, external partnerships, sometimes also bringing funds, and the private sector to bring more funds as well and apply these kind of initiatives.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Especially given how small the market is in Jordan. So could the government and the private sector facilitating access to markets and access to capital, and of course, addressing the barriers that both of you mentioned. Hanan, what do you think? Who should really address some of these barriers? Do you agree with Noor's assessment? Are there other players in the ecosystem that can be part of the solution?
I definitely agree with Noor. I would also maybe emphasize on the fact that it's our job as founders to ask for it. If I don't ask for it, I shouldn't expect to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a really good point as well. And the communication has to continue also between those who are doing the work in the entrepreneurship ecosystem, such as yourselves, as well as the government and the private sector. Very often those channels are either lacking or it's very much based on the initiative of entrepreneurs. At least that's what I've been hearing from a lot of entrepreneurs that I've interviewed throughout the last 6 months with Rajai. So, Noor, we're going to wrap up with the before you launch words of wisdom. So any key learnings from this incredible journey that you've talked about and your experience that you want to share with others? And give advice to budding entrepreneurs, especially men and women.
Perfect. Well, we all usually learn from each other. So maybe the things that I want to share is based on my experience, but I'm sure there are like more and more advice for entrepreneurs. For me, my advice, and which I always remind myself on it, is to believe in ourselves more and more, and to challenge ourselves to go out our comfort zone, to be flexible, adaptable, to make the change is our maybe rule. So the change in ourselves, the change in our businesses, and the change in our business models, and so on. So it's the base. The change, it's the base of our life. One of the important things is to improve ourselves more and more and to focus on ourselves. Because at the end, the rule is ideas may come and go, but the base is ourselves and our skills. So to really invest in ourselves and to build our network as well, it will be beneficial a lot for the startup as well. Also to build good relationships with people. And I do believe in this point. It's not about only money and so on. We have to have that kind of discipline, kind of commitment and kind of manner when we deal with any entity or any person. So what matters is the impression that we leave in people. And finally, to expose ourselves as much as we can and widen our vision. So to meet new people, to explore new markets, to increase the exposure of ourselves and the business as well.
Thank you so much, Noor. I really like that. I like your emphasis on the self as well as building relationships. Hanan, I'll turn to you for key lessons learned that you have basically picked up along the way that you want to share with others. Any words of wisdom?
For me, I think in general, I see a lot of founders are so attached to the idea that they have and they just don't want to share it with anyone. Like they're afraid someone might steal my idea or copy it. I think ideas are cheap. They're actually the cheapest. And usually the idea that you'd start with is so far away from the end product that you end up with. So what would make any founder make it is the team. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what kind of idea you have, if you have the right team to do it, you will make it. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know you will. So stop focusing on being the superhero who has the best idea. Mm-hmm. Just belong to the right team who have a mediocre idea. And I like, if you keep persisting on it, at the end, you will make it. This is my advice.
Thank you. Thank you. I love that too. Again, emphasis on your team, the people and relationships and sharing with others as well. Thank you so much to both of you, Noor Abu Jbara and Hanan Shaheen, for this really interesting and enriching conversation. Good luck to you with all that you do. And once again, thank you for joining us on Riyada.
Thank you, Marissa.
Thank you for having us.
This podcast is funded by a grant from the United States Department of State. The opinions, findings, and conclusions of this podcast are those of our guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the U.S. Department of State.